This is By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio program coming to you over Heritage Broadcasting System. We also come down to many folks via the satellite system, the Internet, and our Paul Revere's for today, the FM rebroadcasters. We ask our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, to bless each and every one of you. First and foremost, we wish to dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. For all good things come from him, and we wish to give him all the praise, glory, and honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring truth to his holy or separated remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh. All praise Yahweh. I am a two-seed line teacher, and I've been studying this truth for a number of years, and my searching and studying continues every single day. And anybody who has anything to add or offer, quest, certainly feel free to send us in information or corrections as you find them. Our goal with this program is to provide something that we are in severe lack of these days, and it's known as the truth. We have a group of people who have taken control of the media in this country, and it is their avowed purpose to make sure you only hear what they want you to hear. And with that kind of control, they also then control what you think and many times what you do. So again, our goal is to come with the truth, and it'll come from many different areas, and we're going to bring it to you with the idea of educating you, because if you are not educated, you cannot make the right and smart decisions that are going to be needed to make in the very near future. The title of tonight's program is One Nation Under Israel, and here in a little bit you're going to find out why we picked that as a title. I have a guest coming on that I'll introduce to you here in just a short moment. I do want to remind you that, as we said, there is a powerful group of people in this country who control the media. And because of that, truth is very hard to find. So we want to give credit tonight to the group of people who run Heritage Broadcasting System. Because of their efforts, you're hearing this program by whatever means it is. And they are doing quite a courageous job. And we want you to keep them in your prayers and also consider giving them a donation. In order to do that, Heritage Broadcasting System can be reached at 4904 Tippecanoe Drive, Tippecanoe Drive, Evansville, 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 Indiana, 47715. And again, keep them in your prayers, give them some support. Also tonight we have a toll-free call-in line if you would care to call in with a comment, a suggestion, or a question for the guest that's coming on here in a few minutes. And that would be 877-570-3733. Okay. And before we get too much further here, I have a poem that Charisse is going to read for you.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. The title of this poem is Once Called. May Yahweh bless you on this chilly morn, though your heart is truly torn. On bended knee might we humbly pray, for it is by his design we live each day. Trust your feelings deep inside, though in a tempest you abide. He will answer those who call upon his name, but remember, once called, you'll never be the same. For when called, when all is said and done, and judgment day is near, in the book of life your name should be to live with your Father for all eternity. Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Thank you. Also, I just recently received a message via email here from a group called the National Front, and the title of the article was The 10 Points, and I thought it was good enough to read to you folks tonight, and I guess this is sort of their 10 points of their platform, which far as I can see, it ought to be the platform for America First. Number one, America First. America must withdraw from the United Nations and stop trying to act as the world's policeman. Let Europe and the Third World settle their own problems. We have more than enough of our own here at home. Above all, we need to dump Israel, an artificial bandit state that has been leeching off the United States for 60 years and has made us bitter enemies with the entire Islamic world. Number two, American industry first. NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, dump them all. Keep American jobs in America. The hemorrhage of American manufacturing jobs, especially to the Third World, must cease. Number three, affirmative action. End it. Don't mend it. Hiring, promotion, and college admission on any grounds other than merit or qualifications is idiotic and a recipe for national disaster. Racial minorities say they are the equal of the white people? Fine. Let's level the playing field and see how they do. Number four, abolish the IRS and all income tax. Replace all federal and state income taxes with excise or sales taxes, which come from the Constitution, by the way. Eliminate property tax altogether. Tax consumption, not income. The best way to reduce government and get it out of our lives is to choke it off their money supply. Forbid deficit spending by constitutional amendment. Number five, end third world immigration. We must have a total ban on all third world immigration, along with an opening of the doors to European immigration to redress the demographic and racial balance of America in favor of Western culture and civilization. There must be a highly proactive program of repatriation of third worlders already resident here. Six, clean up and shape up public schools. Our public schools are a disgrace. They are turning out criminals and illiterates. The first step must be to abolish the leftist National Education Association Teachers Union and depoliticize the public schools. The schools must be returned to purely local control, and rigorous educational standards must be returned to the classroom. Political correctness and homosexuality must be purged from our public education system forever. Seven, homosexuality is a filthy perversion. It is not an alternative lifestyle. It is a foulness beyond all acceptable bounds of human decency. Sodomy must be rooted out and destroyed wherever it is found. Sodomites must be chased so far back into the closet they will never again dare to threaten our children or our national life. Eight, a final solution to the Jewish question. All Jewish influence must be permanently removed from every aspect of America's media, culture, economy, and government. Nine, crime control. The foundation of crime control in America must henceforth be based on a realistic assessment of the essentially racial nature of American crime, with emphasis on prevention through the alteration of racial demographics back in favor of Western civilization. Number 10, yes on gun rights. The right to keep and bear arms is the hallmark of the free man as opposed to the slave, the citizen as opposed to the subject. Private ownership of weapons is the very foundation of all freedom. Without it, all other rights and guarantees are meaningless. All gun control laws must be abolished. Gun ownership, training, and familiarity with firearms must once again become the proud national trademark of the American. I thought that was excellent, by the way. That was an article entitled The 10 Points of the National Front. My guest tonight is the one of five men who co-founded an organization entitled We Hold These Truths. And they have a website that we'll be giving out here eventually. He's a Christian gentleman and a former businessman. And they're so busy right now with dealing with writings and the stuff associated with their website that it's pretty much a full-time job. The gentleman I'm going to introduce to you is the publisher of the book entitled One Nation Under Israel. And the author of the book is Andrew Hurley. And my guest tonight is the publisher, Mr. Chuck Carlson. Chuck, are you on the line?
Yes, indeed. I am, Dan, and happy to be on with you.
Very good. Welcome to the program.
I've been listening to you carefully, and I find what you say is very interesting. And the truth is, really, the key, and that must always be kept in mind. And if we hear to the truth, we will prevail. God will honor us.
Well, that's what he told us, to seek the truth. He is the truth, so the very first thing I guess we should be seeking is the Christ. And from there, you just keep going up. Now, I wrote some notes down. I just got the book the other day, so obviously I didn't have a chance to read all the way through it. But tonight I wish we could go into some of the topics. This book is rather lengthy, but it goes into the background of the Jews through the centuries, the Zionist movement from 1887 up through 1948, the Arab-Israeli wars, etc. And then, of course, one of the things that's very interesting is when they get into the Israeli lobby and some of their submarining, if you will, in the politics of this country. Do you want to go into that just a little bit, Chuck?
Sure. This book was written by a very studious man named Andrew Hurley, who was actually a business leader in Fortune 500 companies. He worked for very, very large companies like the Reader's Digest, McCall's Magazine. He was an officer of these companies, a director on their board of directors, Hunt Foods Company, and these are very large companies that were predominantly run by very pro-Israel people. They were predominantly Jewish, and in fact, he was on the board of directors of the Norton Simon Corporation, and he told me privately that he was the only non-Jew on the board. And that was that way for many years, and Hurley, when he retired, had kept notes for many years, and he sat down and took 20 years of accumulation of notes and decided to write a book that he felt had a chance of saving Western civilization. And as a public service, he wrote this book, and then he went back to those organizations that he'd served over the years, such as McCall's Magazines and McGraw-Hill Corporation, where he was actually on the board of that corporation, and sought to have his book published, and none of them would touch the book. And so the book went into obscurity. A few copies were printed, and Mr. Hurley gave away 5,000 copies, which he paid for himself, and he sent them to business leaders and political leaders all over the world. And then he retired, and nothing else happened for 10 years until we came along. And about 8 years later, we discovered the book, and it was almost 10 years to the day when we finally republished One Nation Under Israel. The title of the book originally was Saving Israel from a Suicide. And the tremendous value of this book, Dan, just stop me if you think I'm going too far, but the tremendous value of the book is that it's written very sympathetically. Mr. Hurley does not write this from the standpoint of a raving anti-Semite who wants to see the face of Israel removed from the face of the earth. Rather, it's written from the standpoint of here's what prominent Jewish people have said about this country, the ones you don't hear about. And he used as sources predominantly people who knew from the inside about Israel. And there's a tremendous resistance in Israel to their own government, as you may or may not know. So a lot of these sources went into Hurley's book, and he put together a very dramatic history of how this whole thing happened. And in it, he put things that you'll not find in many other books, if any, that we found, such as how the United Nations was involved in creating the State of Israel. That's all in the book.
Uh-huh.
How the State of Israel attacked and sunk in 1997, an American ship, murdered approximately 40 members of the crew of the USS Liberty, how they wounded about more than two-thirds of the people on the ship. The ship was actually had to be destroyed and scuttled. It never saw duty again. And yet, how that was kept secret from the American public. These are the kind of things that the Pollard spy case, all these things make up this very substantial reference book. So we decided to print the book because we felt that people like you and ourselves needed something that was hard to refute, something that we could give to our pastors, that we could give to business leaders, that we could give, if we know Jewish people, we can give it to them, and confront them with this story right as spoken from the mouths of many of their own historians.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Hurley's book is all about. So we hold these truths as published it, and we sell it over the internet, or we sell it over the air, or through the mail, and We've had people who are very interested in our cause, our concerns, who've made a project out of buying the book and giving them away to business leaders. So that's basically the story behind the book, Dan.
That's certainly a worthy goal, because I'll tell you, people are just totally ignorant today of the power of this group and their history, because as you said, anybody who's done any research, you find out this same group controls the America media, the mass media anyway, for sure, and therefore they can control how much of the truth about what they're up to you get to hear about. And this book, as you've said, again, I did not read it cover to cover, but I have certainly gleaned through it, and it's just jam-packed full of quotes of congressmen, of rabbis, of Jewish businessmen, you name it, historians. They've got everything in here. I wrote down a few of them that I want to go into with you a little bit. But before we get too much further into this, how much is the book, by the way?
We sell the book for $20. We're now discounting it $17, so you can get it shipped to you for about $21, including postage and handling charges.
So $21 postage paid.
Yep.
Okay. And the website to go look at this, folks, so you can see the ad for it, plus a lot of the other things that We Hold These Truths has on their website for discussion, which I want to get into a little bit later here too also. But you can go to the website at www.w as in wagon, h as in hotel, tt.org, O-R-G. And again, that's www.whtt.org.
Just like and weholdthesetruths.org.
Excuse me?
Just like in weholdthesetruths.org.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's another way of looking at it.
Right out of the Declaration of Independence, so.
Oh, yes. Well, again, it's just incredible. It is an excellent work as far as that. I would remind, now, most of our listeners are people who know who's who as far as scripturally. A very confusing term today is the word Jew. If anybody's read Arthur Koestler, who was himself a Jew, wrote a book called The 13th Tribe, he goes into the ancestry of most people who call themselves a Jew today, and you find out they have absolutely no link to the Old Testament Hebrew people whatsoever. But that being aside, the book is just full of information concerning the modern-day people who call themselves Jews, guys like Kissinger and Greenspan and different people like that, and how they have taken over control of this country. And people need to be aware of that.
Yeah, this is a book that no one will finish in a day or a week. It will take some time. Unless you sit down and dedicate yourself, this book will take you some time to read. But it's also a book you'll refer back to 1,000 times. It's one of those books that you put in your shelf and you never part with. And we've recently had a doctor from Cleveland who's a wonderful example who called us. He's now bought 21 copies of the book, and he's given it to, he says, to his very educated friends, and he says, without exception, within a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks of the time they receive the book, they call him back and tell him how much they appreciate it because of the balance of it and the way it's written. And yet it's very forceful, and it does not pull any punches. It does tell very clearly about the annihilation of the Palestinians by the Israelis when the United Nations gave them what was really Palestinian land, or land belonging to actually in Syria, but it was in the Palestinian province of Palestine. And it goes into great detail in some of those terrible events that history has lied to us about, and it gives no holds barred history of those events, and then carries forward into the migrations of these people after, of course, Titus burned Jerusalem in 70 A.D., and a great deal of history of the Babylonian culture and all of this much of it is in this book, but the tremendous value of the book is something to help us win back our country, Dan, and this is the real bottom line reason why we gave the book the title we did.
Mm-hmm.
Is that people need to understand that our country has fallen under the control of a lobby that Now, that lobby, of course, is the Israeli lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And that lobby represents people far above and beyond Israel. That Israeli lobby really represents people from Brooklyn to Paris to London, but it carries these functions out through this Israeli lobby. And as we taxpayers end up paying for all kinds of benefits and foreign aid, such as the $20 billion Israel now wants us to give them in order for them to agree to peace in the Middle East. We're supposed to give them $20 billion of our dollars if they will agree to peace. And that $20 billion is on top of all the other tens of hundreds, it's actually over $100 billion that's been given to them in direct cash foreign aid over the years. And then that money, part of it, is recycled right back into our Congress through these foreign aid PACs. One of them is called APAC. That's the clean pack of all the PACs. And through that political action committee, which is really the American-Israeli political action, the Public Affairs Council, but through that PAC, presidents and members of Congress and heads of important committees are manipulated right in our Congress, right before us. So in effect, those dollars are recycled to actually control our Congress as someone else wants it controlled. And that's what that's the real value of this book, as something to confront your congressman with.
I think it would be good for that, absolutely. It's interesting you talked about that, because all you hear about here lately is gun control, and some of the biggest pushers for gun control, like Schumer and Feinstein and Boxer, they're all Jews. And it's interesting, in Chapter 3 of the book, I think it's in Chapter 3, it's in the first three chapters, I noticed he goes into the history of some of these people back when they convinced some Roman soldiers that were held up in a garrison during some of the wars back then, and they convinced them that they were going to let them go home. They were going to surrender and let them go home. And so the Roman soldiers laid down their shields and swords and came out, and the first thing these Jews did is slaughtered them. And I can't help thinking that nothing has changed. As Solomon told us, nothing new under the sun. They did the same thing in Russia when they murdered the Tsarina and Tsar and their family, and now they're trying to do it to us, the Christian population in America. It's the same thing, nothing new under the sun. Lay down your weapons. Peace, peace, peace. Lay down your weapons. Don't worry. We have cops. Like, excuse me, the military and cops are going to look out for my benefit? Since when? You know, they want us to lay down the weapons, and guess what will happen once the weapons are laid down?
Right.
Do you think history might repeat itself?
The latest example that occurred in Chechnya, where the Chechens, of course, the Russian soldiers are so impoverished that they are begging, they really beg for food. If anyone comes along with food, the Russian soldiers beg. But the Chechens had been able to get money smuggled into them, and they'd been able to bribe the Russian military. In fact, that's where they got most of their weapons. They bought it from the Russian soldiers, according to very good accounts. But when they were when they were finally forced to leave the rubble of the capital city of Grozny, of Chechnya, they found $100,000, gave it as a bribe to the leaders of the Russians, and the Russians promised to allow them to leave. And of course, some of your listeners may have heard the story of the minefield that they had to go through, and of course the Russians were there bombarding them. And what happened was somebody with more money outbribed those Russian generals, didn't they?
Yes, I wonder who that might be.
Yes. that war, of course, has been paid for, again, by the United States taxpayers, because if you look at the foreign aid picture, and that's something we hold these truth studies very carefully, you'll find that Russia is now on the foreign aid dole. So our taxpayers are now providing the guns and weapons that allow for the killing of the women and children in those towns and villages in Chechnya.
Yes.
All of these other provinces.
It's to me, it's a shame. It's a shame because Christ told us when he was here, and in earlier too in the prophets, but when the Messiah walked among us, he told us to be good stewards of our money. And that was not a nice thing. It was a commandment. And here we've got brain-dead people who claim to love God and Christ and everything they stood for that send this money brainlessly in every April 15th, They send it in knowing darn well that they are financing this kind of terrorism and murder, and yet, if you confront them, they think you're the guy who's is off the wall. If you suggest to them that, do you think maybe we just should cut it off, just as the 10 items in that list I just read off there, cut it off. If they didn't have your funds to do these monstrous things with, they wouldn't do them.
Well, that's exactly right, and we hold these truths. It realizes that we have to actually appeal to a lot of people who don't think just like we do, and in some cases they're pretty liberal people, and yet we're going to be dependent upon those. We'll find them in our churches, we'll find them in our communities, and they don't think just like we do, but they have some moral foundation somewhere. We have to appeal to that, and we have to find things to take to them that make them understand that what's going on in our government is evil, and that they have to resist that, and that they have to have a positive way of approaching it. And, of course, that is one reason that we take such great interest in these foreign wars, these foreign killing field projects that are now routinely done by our government. Our government just routinely goes in and annihilates the population of countries that will not cooperate with the world order. That's exactly why the Chechens are being put through their trial, is that they refuse to cooperate with the world order. They just don't want to be part of the big Russian military establishment.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go it alone. And so when your listeners are out there and they're thinking about, they'd like to be independent, they want to go it alone, we have to think about these go it alone countries that are being annihilated and slaughtered, and we have to take those children and be able to see those children and see those women and be able to translate that into words that affect our friends, so that when they see that, it means something to them, and they begin to understand it. That when they're working to save our country, they're actually working to save the lives of their children.
Hey, Chuck, we've got to go to break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
With HBS, the Heritage Broadcast System. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Not so many years ago, men and women were having children into their 80s and living what we would consider extremely long lives. Since then, we have turned our air to filth, our water toxic, and completely depleted our ground of all vitamins and minerals. Our fresh foods look good but have no substance, and processed foods are pumped full of synthetic vitamins and minerals that our bodies won't absorb. But there are ways of coping with these problems, and Saltbox Herbs has the answers. From the micro water machine that will detox and balance the pH levels of your body to the Qi machine that gives your body the perfect exercise, natural vitamins and minerals your body will use, cleansing and healing regimens that will keep you healthy. Saltbox Herbs, the healthy alternative that you can afford and your body can live with. Call Dr. Judy at 724-639-9607. That's 724-639-9607.
Broadcasting worldwide, this is the Heritage Broadcast System.
Do we have a deal for you? We have three different plastic bumper stickers you'll love. Just send us a large, three-stamped, self-addressed envelope and four federal dollars or three NORFED American Liberty dollars to Heritage Broadcasting, 4904 Tippecanoe, TIPPECANOE Drive, Evansville, Indiana, 47715.
Around the world, this is HBS, the Heritage Broadcast System.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody. This is By Yahweh's Design. After all, everything is by Yahweh's design. Interesting note that the word logos in the Greek is translated word in your Bible, but it also means plan, intelligent plan. So it could easily have just said the plan was with God, and we're part of his plan. And this program is also part of that plan to educate his sons and daughters who are woefully ignorant of what's really happening in this world, especially the culture out there that does nothing but listen and watch television. Ugh. But anyway, here it is, the 18th of February, year 2000. Tonight's program, One Nation Under Israel. And the reason we entitled the program that, that is the title of a book that we're discussing. The author of that book is Andrew Hurley, and the publisher is my guest tonight, Chuck Carlson, who is also part of We Hold These Truths. And they have a website set up. Let me give you that one more time, at www.whtt, which stands for We Hold These Truths, .org, O-R-G. And the price of the book we're discussing is $21 post-paid. And it is jam-packed full of factual information about the Zionist Jews, their history, how they got involved in our politics, and some of the underhanded methods and means that they use. And most of the facts in the book are from Jews themselves, or at least from people who are not outright anti-Jewish, if that's the word you want to use. Chuck, I think we might have cut you off there if you want to finish what you were talking about.
No, what I was saying, of course, was that we need to use our ability to convince our friends of the need to make changes, and we need to show them very clearly that what our government is doing is taking life. And a key to all of the things that you've talked about here, really, when it boils down to, most people are sensitive to life and death, and the war-making activities of our country in foreign countries, in places like Iraq, is so destructive to human life that people can see that. If you show them that, you can get them to listen, even if they're built different than we are, even if they think differently than we are, and we have to win the hearts of people who think a little bit differently than we do. Don't you agree?
Well, we should. Yes, we definitely do. You're right. Whatever it takes to wake them up, I'm all for that. Knowing full well that the majority never will wake up, at least according to the word, but that we just need significant numbers.
We need that 2 or 3 or 5% or whatever the number that God wills it will be enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that number is, but we do know we don't have enough right now, do we?
No, it doesn't seem so, but I keep hanging on to the story of Gideon, and when we need to move, or when he calls for the move to be made, we'll have the numbers we need. But he also told us to always tell the truth and to always resist evil, and this program is dedicated to resisting that evil. And this group of people, the more I've investigated them and what they've done in the world and in the United States, they are satanic and they are evil as far as I am concerned. They are also criminally insane, and they are also hypocrites to the highest degree. And the reason we can back that up in Chapter 3 of the book, when it's going over the Zionist movement, there's a statement in there that they introduced scientific terrorism. Now, and that was on page 36 of the book, and part of what it went into is when they captured two British sergeants and hung them, and then took their bodies out and put them in a tree, and then booby-trapped the ground around the tree for when the men came to get, the British soldiers would come and get their two boys back and take them home. The point I'm trying to make here is these hypocrites are all in our government today with all this anti-terrorism legislation. Their controlled media is pushing this anti-gun, anti-terrorism crap at us every day, and yet these are the same people who you will find their money and their influence behind some of the most horrific acts of terrorism that man has ever known.
And that's covered in chapter four of the book, The Arab-Israeli Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Chapters entitled War, Terror, and Refugees, and so on, and it gives you an excellent background on that. And that's absolutely right. Terrorism does come from the Bolshevik idea. That's what Bolshevikism was built on, and of course, the state of Israel is basically a Bolshevik nation.
Mm-hmm.
It has the same principles that the Bolsheviks had. So people think of it as a democracy, but of course, Israel is not. Israel is has an enormously high abortion rate. Everybody's forced to serve in the military. It's really a very nasty place to live. People who live in the state of Israel and grow up there really want to get out pretty bad. They're sort of captives there because it's a war zone that those people occupy. And there are a lot of people in Israel who would like to leave and can't. And mainly because it is the epitome of a socialistic or it may be the last remaining communist country in the world. If you really want to look at a pure dictatorship, here's a country where you have to be of one religion or you can't even be there. And so it's not a pleasant place to be, and that's brought out pretty clearly in Hurley's book. That's something you don't hear every day, but when you stop and think about it, this goes far beyond the state of Israel being our oppressor. The state of Israel is an undesirable little sandbox that's being used by the world Zionist movement to buy American influence.
And oh, I agree.
The most powerful country in the world.
Chuck, real quick, I didn't give out an address here. I only gave the website. You mind if I give out the mailing address for Truth Press?
Yes, why don't we do that? It's Post Office Box 14491, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85267. And if you send us $21 to that address, we'll send you back the book and a nice package of all the other things we produce. We have a journal we produce. We produce a little thing called Heads Up, which is a weekly commentary. It hits on one issue. The one with this week is revisiting Y2K, and we put out one of these each week, and so we'll send you a nice little package like that. And if you use a credit card, you come over our website, use a credit card, it's set up for a slightly higher price for the book. Don't worry about it if you get charged $23 instead of $21. We'll make that up. We'll send you a little something extra along with it. But you can use a credit card if you come out over the internet, or if you want to call us on the telephone, you can do that, and you can use a credit card also.
And your telephone number?
It's area code 480-443-0204. That's 443-0204. Area code 480.
Okay.
And you can just leave your name, address, credit card, expiration number. And we'll send you the book and a little package that goes with it. And most of the things we produce are scot-free. We give them away. All of the things we put out over the Internet are free. We're happy to have people copy them and send them on because our lives, the lives of our women and children are at stake here. And we're dedicated, like you are, Pastor Dan, to spending our time and our lives and our money to try to save our country, to save our civilization. And it is at stake, just as you said earlier.
Well, I believe it is. I believe it isn't that all the blame has to go on them, because my own opinion is they are what God made them to be. The real shame, of course, is our people in their endless search for pleasure and entertainment and their weakness for money and power oftentimes go along with what these people do. And they are truly traitors to not only our country, but our God and our race. Now, there's also a whole lot of people in and out of the military, et cetera, who are just plain ignorant. And for those folks, I think you're right. I think those folks need to read a book like this. Many years ago, a fellow opened my eyes by giving me a book. It wasn't this one, of course, but he gave me a book, and I read it, and it just sort of hit on all cylinders. And it opened my eyes from that point on into a very long 20-some year learning process. And this book can do the same thing today, because this particular group of people is hidden from the average person, especially the average Christian in America, which is just astounding. And I want to go into that. Here's some quotes out of the book. Let me see if I can find it here. On page 202, there's a rabbi quoted as saying that the New Testament should be burned. There's another quote here. Let me look for it. just a second here. Well, on page 80, there's a rabbi talks that leads his congregation to call and vote and protest against Carter because Carter was going to pass some kind of legislation that was pro-American, but it wasn't pro-Israel. And so here, the same people crying separation of church and state every day into our boob tubes, into our ears, they have no problem with their rabbis leading them in political affairs. Trying to find it here. I think maybe this is it here on page 95 where Senator Fulbright, who was a Democrat from Arkansas, was talking about the fact that the U.S. Senate, yeah, it was in 1973, he made the statement that the U.S. Senate was subservient to Israel and controlled by the Israel lobby. And then again on national television twice in that same year, he made that statement.
That statement has been made by others. A very fine Senator, James Averesk from South Dakota, who was a conservative Democrat, really, from sort of a far more state of South Dakota. And Senator Averesk in 1997 talked to the Jefferson-Jackson Day dinner where all the Democrats got together. And at that dinner in Denver, Colorado, he said, I have sworn an oath to uphold the government of the United States, but I never dreamed, these are his words, I never dreamed I would be required to swear allegiance to any other government. Then he went on to say that the United States is likely to become, if it has not already become, a captive state of its client state. Now, what Senator Averesk didn't really realize, I don't think, is that the Zionist organizations in places like New York and London actually control the state of Israel, and they use the state of Israel to do this to our senators and congressmen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn around and give foreign aid back to those countries to buy influence over our own Congress, and round it goes. It's a vicious circle, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Deception everywhere. Again, the Messiah said they speak a lie because they speaketh their own. There's no truth in them.
I'd like to share a couple things that are more contemporary that the book really does not treat that might, hopefully your friends will read the book, but or read our review. You can read an excellent review of the book, and we're going to publish other reviews, so if you don't have $20, you can actually read a lot about the book right on our website, and we're happy to have you do that if you can't afford to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But among the things that are so significant is that in the Yugoslavian war, when we went in and bombed these people, the entire cadre of Americans who were running that war were all appointed by William Jefferson Clinton. And without exception, the leaders, all six of the leaders, had Jewish roots. In other words, every one of them could have picked up and left our country and gone to Israel, declared themselves citizens in the state of Israel, and escaped any blame, even court martials that they might have for misdeeds, because they all have a second citizenship. And this includes General Wesley Kean Clark, William Holbrooke, Secretary of Defense William Cohn. He's still the Secretary of Defense. He's doing the same thing today in Kosovo and Russia, in Chechnya, and James Rubin, who's an Assistant Secretary of State, and of course Madeleine Albright. Some of these people have suddenly discovered that they have this ethnic characteristic that they claim they didn't know they had, such as a mother. But all of these people are eligible for citizenship in another country. There's not another person in the Congress who would be allowed to swear an oath of allegiance to our government and at the same time have dual citizenship somewhere else, is there?
Oh, absolutely not. It's tantamount to treason. And where in the world our military is right now, I don't know. We have no leadership. We are rudderless in this Christian country. We have no Christian leadership at the top whatsoever, because these are acts of treason, and these people should be in prison awaiting trial for treason. There is absolutely no doubt about it. I've also got a copy of the Oath of Allegiance to the United Nations. Now, everybody who's ever looked into that, and your book, I believe, even talks about it, the United Nations was founded with Jewish money. It's a Jewish conception. It's a Jewish vehicle to world government, which they hope to be the masters of the rest of us. And there's quotes of that in the book and other books. And American who has anything to do with the United Nations and takes that oath can be tried for treason. Because that very oath, they put the interests and agendas of the United Nations above the sovereign United States. Is that not tantamount to treason?
I think so. And also, very recently, our own Vice President Al Gore, who's running, wants to be president, swore allegiance to the state of Israel. When Bill Clinton was about to be, or was in the process of being impeached, the Vice President went and talked to the American-Israeli Political Affairs Committee, and he told them that they could count on him, that he had unequivocal commitment to the welfare of the state of Israel. That means he put the state of Israel ahead of our own country. So here was a man who is running for our president of our country who has already sworn that allegiance. But another issue that needs to be pointed out, and I don't want to forget to talk about this, and that is that We Hold These Truths has made a very great effort to take this and pin it down and put it on the doorstep of our celebrity Christian leaders. And if we have problems in this country, Pastor Dan, it is because our celebrity Christian leaders are not doing their job. They're not carrying out the function that they should be carrying out in God's kingdom. They're not carrying out the commission. They're not acting as disciples of Christ. And they are looking the other way while all these acts are going on, and they're cheering Israel on all the time, and they're ignoring these terrible war acts that are going on. And we need very badly to go to these celebrity leaders and demand that they stand on our side. And until we do that, until these celebrity Christian leaders repent and turn from their ways and actually stand for our country, we are not going to have a change because they're too influential.
Well, my personal feeling there is if they're given prime time airtime on TV, radio, etc., odds are they're in the enemy's camp. They may call themselves Christian, but if they're not doing the work of the master, I seriously got to question their true motivations. Mostly because if they're given free access to the airwaves, generally it's because they're not going to touch the sacred cow, which is the Zionist control of this country. And so they've either bought into the big lie because of money or greed or power or fear. I believe some of them it's out of fear or a love of the good life that they've got. As you said, they're quite wealthy, most of them, living in very nice homes with not having to work for a living like a lot of us. And so they've got a pretty cushy ride there, and I believe that is holding sway over them, or it may be all the above. But I believe that our Heavenly Father right now is putting a hot coal on a whole lot of people's tongues, including people like you. And I have a feeling that a whole lot of things are going to get done by people that maybe aren't at the very top as far as celebrity. Now, I agree with you. These people need to be accosted. They need to be confronted, and told that you're either going to stand up for what's right scripturally, no compromise, or you can stop supporting them, is what I've told my family, other members of my family who go to mainstream churches, and they're constantly apologizing for their pastors and priests and ministers for not being as outspoken as they. So why? You're aiding the problem. You know, as we talked earlier about why send the government money so that they can commit criminal acts, why would you send money to a church whose leader is not leading us the way a pastor is supposed to lead the flock? Wouldn't you say, Chuck?
I agree. However, I do also agree that we need to use the influence we have. And if we have influence in our own church, if we're in a church, even if it's a church that disappoints us every day, if we're in it and we have influence there, we should use that influence and insist upon that church following us. They should insist upon them hearing us. And I'm not saying that's going to be pleasant. I'm not saying that they won't fight it. But it's very important that we try to use whatever influence we have. If we want to win and if we want to be disciples, we have to do that. And I want to give you an example. One of our directors recently got a personal letter from a very prominent celebrity Christian. Everybody would know his name. And he got this letter from his secretary. He'd given the money, and he offered to send them a copy of One Nation Under Israel. Would this pastor read it? And he got a letter back from the secretary, and it said, we have a whole stack of those on his desk, and he is going to read it, but don't send another one because he just doesn't need it. He's got so many copies of that book. So someday, I do believe that man, though he's done a lot of dishonest things, I believe that he will read that book or some other book like it, and that his conscience can be affected, and that he, of course, has the power to reach a lot of people. So I think we can't give up on these people. We should not trust them. We've written a paper on Pat Robertson. It's a very blunt paper. It's why Pat Robertson acts like Rupert Murdoch. It's because, of course, Pat Robertson sold out his family broadcasting network to Rupert Murdoch for literally $1 billion. And the Robertson family put something like $175 million in their own family trust as a result of that. It's money in a big way. And, of course, now the message that's supposed to be going out of our Christian network is being controlled by an international pornographer named Rupert Murdoch, who controls great, big, powerful left-wing news broadcasting systems. Now, this is not a very pretty picture, is it?
No, absolutely not.
But we have to expose that, and we have to call these people to accountability, and I don't believe that they will be the leaders who lead us out of this. I think the leaders who lead us out of this mess will come from within. There'll be names we don't know, but somewhere along the line, we still need to keep the pressure on the celebrity Christians, and that's why we don't quit writing about them. We write about them every time we write. We point out their role in all of these things. We keep pointing out where were they when they were talking about the apocalypse around Y2K, but they didn't bother to talk about the apocalypse in Iraq, where 4,000 children were being killed every month by starvation. They didn't talk about the bombing of Yugoslavia, where American soldiers actually purposely bombed civilian trains, under orders, of course, but still, it was murder. And look what's happening to the morals of our young men who are being trained in a situation of genocide, where they're sent out to carry out a genocide task. Former President Bush was just over in Kuwait, and he talked to the Air Force wing that's bombing almost every day over there. We don't even hear about it. And he told them that they were doing God's work. That was his words.
Blasphemy.
Isn't that blasphemy?
Absolutely.
But we need to point that out. And I know you're doing it, and we can't lose faith in what God can do. And we have to remember that some of these people that we have already counted out and considered to be worthless and lost causes can in some way be a big help to us, and must in effect see some of them must come over and see our way.
I'll agree with the idea that each of us is led a different way, obviously, and you have to do something. You've got to try something to change these people, but at the same time, don't trust them, and also let them know that you know that they're liars.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, we only have a few minutes left. Real quick, if you could, the book does talk about, I believe, you mentioned genocide, that these people, these same people who we're talking about tonight, these Zionists, are behind the mass, unlimited immigration of everybody but white Europeans into this country, and that is a form of genocide. Do you agree?
Well, yes. It's totally destructive to our country. The immigration that's supposed to go into Israel, those people can't wait to get out of Israel into the United States. There's a tremendous immigration coming into our country from Russia. And, of course, we have Russia under starvation conditions, and the same Bolsheviks who basically went and destroyed Russia, their children are now immigrating into the United States. So I certainly do agree that the immigration pattern has to be stopped. And it's very important. It's very critical, and it's certainly one of the most important issues. And the genocide that's being conducted, all you have to do is look at the people in charge in Yugoslavia, and then look at the genocide that was carried out there, both in Belgrade and in Kosovo, where we went and literally bombed these refugee camps. Look at the genocide that's going on It has been going on for 60 years in Palestine, where these poor people have been murdered basically at will, tortured. Well, you have torture as a matter of policy, and it's something that your people need to understand and know about. And,
yes. Well, as Pastor Wickstrom says, they are a hideous people, and look up in the dictionary, folks, what hideous means, and you'll figure it out. Chuck, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Carlson's been my guest tonight, publisher of One Nation Under Israel. Chuck, thanks a million for being on, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
I'd enjoy that, and I think you have a wonderful show, and I've really enjoyed everything you've had to say and your comments, and I think you're doing a great work. God bless you. Keep it up.
All righty. You take care, and Godspeed. Ladies and gentlemen, by Yahweh's design, stay tuned, and again, Yahweh's blessings on each and every one of you, and by His will, we'll see you next week. Take care, and Yahweh bless.